And having a look at the readings for today, as you know, there are various times through the year I like to stick to lectionary readings, and other times we just go crazy with whatever else we want to talk about. But we're looking at a couple of the readings from the lectionary today for the fourth Sunday in Advent. And in particular, there's a reading from Luke, but first of all, I'd like to read a few verses, the reading from Hebrews. And it's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 10. And the writer says to us, "When Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you haven't desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'See, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'See, I have come to do your will.' He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it's by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Now, that's all a bit dense, really, I suppose. But in essence, what those verses are saying is that it's not the outward things of obedience and not the outward signs of obedience or worship that God is particularly looking for, except in those, insofar as those things help us, right? It's not the burnt offerings that God wanted. It's the attitude of the heart that offered the burnt offerings. Do we see the difference? So I have come to do your will. So it's doing God's will that is the thing that he looks for. You have neither desired nor taken pleasure. I have come to do your will. He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. So God is saying to us through the writer to the Hebrews, these external ceremonies of sacrifice are not required in the true worship of God. It's the inner situation, it's the heart which leads to a true sacrifice that God wants. It's by God's will that we have been sanctified, we've been set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, funny little phrase in the middle of there. Sacrifices and offerings you haven't desired, but a body you have prepared for me. Okay? An interesting phrase, and I'm not going to pretend to go deeply into the deep meanings of what Hebrews is saying in that, but a body you have prepared for me. And that takes us into this reading from Luke. And we're reading from Luke chapter 1 and starting at 39. And it's the story of Mary and Elizabeth. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Okay, so there's the declaration of Elizabeth having felt the stirring of God within her when Mary came to visit. And now, quite a famous song or whatever it's known, I think, as the Magnificat. And it starts here at verse 46. "Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. So there's Mary's response, not simply to Elizabeth, but to being aware that the Spirit of God has moved in Elizabeth. And I'd just like to have a look at just that interaction between Mary and Elizabeth and the baby. And we know that the baby in Elizabeth's womb was John the Baptist, who had been sent to go ahead of Jesus to prepare the way. We spoke a little bit, I think last week, mentioned Godspell, did we? Or was that the week before? Christmas last week. 2 weeks ago, I think I mentioned Godspell and the start of Godspell, where the full text of Godspell has all these philosophers shouting out their ideas, all talking over one another. And the scene is called in the script the Babel, the Tower of Babel, all these philosophers shouting out things over each other. And then the clear voice of John the Baptist comes through, prepare the way of the Lord, cutting through all the confusion of all those opinions and thoughts. And so here we have the very start of this career of John the Baptist, even before he's born, alerting to the presence of Jesus. And the particular thing, there's a particular thing about this that I want to focus on, which has to do with that really strange phrase that we mentioned in Hebrews. Okay? So let's have a look at what's happening. Mary went out to go to that place in the hill country, and Elizabeth was kind of a cousin of Mary's. Okay? And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we've read before, when we talked about John the Baptist, we've read about how his birth was so significant that even his name was set by God, and that his father, Zechariah, was deprived of speech until he agreed that this child should be called John, because it wasn't a family name. Push it down, Nigel, and pull the door. Okay, maybe it's still locked. Can you just shove the door open for Nigel, please? So the presence of John the Baptist there, the coming of John the Baptist was so important to God that even his name was a matter of royal decree, if you like, that God demanded that his name be John and that Zechariah obey. And again, it's probably not his name, but Zechariah's obedience that God was looking for, doing the will of God. And so we can see that here's Elizabeth with a child inside her, which God has decreed should be there. So in a sense, God has put something inside Elizabeth, not in the same way as he's put inside Mary, because John the Baptist was born after the usual order of things. But the birth of John the Baptist, the presence of John the Baptist was so important that that God had a huge vested interest in this. So there's this something inside Elizabeth that when she heard Mary's voice, the child leapt inside her, eager to do his job already. I want to prepare the way for my Lord. I want to prepare the way for my Lord. I want to get to it already. I'm eager. I want to get out there and you know, do the thing that I've been born to do. And so within Mary, there's this life that is eager and bursting to get out and do the things that God wants. Within Elizabeth. And Mary comes. And it could be that perhaps nobody else even had been told yet that Mary was pregnant. But the child stirred within Elizabeth. And what was inside Elizabeth recognised what was inside Mary. And in each of them, there's a life within them that God has designed to put there, and they each recognised each other. I'm getting a little bit mystical here, and that's all right. I normally don't. So I want us to see that in Elizabeth and in Mary, there's something to do with this strange phrase in Hebrews, if you've prepared a body for me, you've prepared something for me to inhabit, you've prepared, you know, a place for me to grow, says the Lord. And so then Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, he's looked with favour on me. So we've got this interaction between two people who are blessed by God. And when one meets the other, what's inside one responds to what's inside the other. And it's the life given by God, the life blessed by God inside each of them, who each of those people was going to come on to become so significant in the plan of God for our salvation. One to be the forerunner and one to actually be our salvation. And here, right at the start, the life that God has put in each one leaps up and recognises the life that God's put in the other. Yes? And the one who bears that life understands what's going on. You've heard me say many, many times that that we can have a confidence about sharing the good news of Jesus because wherever we go, God's been there first, right? It's a great teaching with the big, you know, you have to have a theological name for some of these things. And the theological name is the prevenient grace of God, the grace of God that goes first. And we believe that we're not alone. We're not left to our own devices when we speak out the things of Jesus. But we believe that in the people that we meet, God has already stirred something in the way that he has stirred John the Baptist in the belly of Elizabeth and put Jesus in the belly of Mary. That in the hearts of every person we speak to, God is whispering already the good news of salvation in Jesus. And when we speak it out to their ears, what people's ears hear clicks with what their hearts have heard from God. And there's the confidence that they have to come and accept the good news of salvation in Jesus. So in this interaction between Elizabeth and Mary, I think this is a great model for us in having confidence of moving ahead, of going on with the things that God has challenged us to do. And whether this is dual core moving ahead into the future in God's service, whether this is each one of us as a Christian person moving ahead in our lives, I think we can have the same confidence that Mary had, the same confidence that Elizabeth had. And when Mary found that the life inside Elizabeth leapt when she spoke out, so the words that Mary spoke of greeting stirred up this life inside Elizabeth and led to this great interaction. And so the one who was going to be the forerunner of Jesus was eager to get on with it. So we can move out. Dural Core can move out. We can hit Glenorie with ministry. We can meet the people that we meet all through our day all the time. And we can have confidence that God has gone before us, preparing the hearts of those who we meet, and that there is a nascent life, if I can use that word, a life that's just waiting to leap forth into action in the hearts of the people that we speak to, so that we can have confidence when we go out in the name of Jesus that God has gone before us and he has spoken his own name into the hearts of those who we meet. And so that when we speak the name of Jesus, the people who are ready to hear us will recognise that same name of Jesus coming in through their ears and being whispered into their heart, and they will be ready to connect those two things and make a full and complete life for themselves with Jesus as their saviour. Does that make sense? Can we see, you know, I always hate, you know, how can we spiritualise this? But and that's just what I've done with this meeting between Mary and Elizabeth. But I really do believe that this is an accurate representation of the things that I've been talking about, that God does come first. God does move first, and we have confidence in this great commission that we have to go out and to make disciples of all nations.
Amen.
So we can be confident. We can share the name of Jesus. You know, I had a great time. I might show you the video later. It was my last Friday at the Vicar on Friday night. It was also my last Friday at Glenorie, but it's my last Friday at the Vicar. And every Friday night before Christmas at the Vicar, since they discovered I played guitar, there's a mob of guys down the back who call themselves the College of Knowledge, and they sing carols. And they've chosen their own carols. And so I went there with my guitar and we sang Away in a Manger. We sang Silent Night, Christ the Saviour is Born. All these big boofy blokes in the Vicar shouting out, Christ the Saviour is Born. It's fantastic. And by the time I got my camera out and said, can someone video this, all that was left was Jingle Bells, but that's okay. We did sing songs about Jesus. And see, in that group, you know, I believe that Jesus is speaking to the hearts of those guys.
Yes.
And I go in there, and as brave as I can be, I speak out the name of Jesus, trusting that when they're ready, the name of Jesus in their heart and the name of Jesus in their ear will connect, and they'll start to remember what their lives are for, and they'll be eager to get on with it, as John the Baptist was. So let's go out not being afraid or ashamed of the name of Jesus. Let's use the name of Jesus. Take the name of Jesus with you, says one of our songs. You know, and don't be ashamed. Be confident. Be confident that God has gone before us, that God has spoken into the hearts of the people that we meet, and in a sense, they've been prepared. The way for the Lord has been prepared in the hearts of everyone we speak to. You know, I'm going to jump on my bandwagon again. We don't have to listen to the marketing people. We listen to our Lord.
Amen.
And we speak the name of Jesus boldly and unashamedly and confidently. And God will honour our willingness to obey him. It's not the getting out and blabbing that God looks for. It's the willingness in our heart to obey him. Yep. And it's the willingness in the heart of the people we speak to hear him. Let's go and let's be the bringer of Jesus to everyone that we meet. Yeah?
Amen.
Let's pray.